Okay, I suppose we can give this topic a try and see how the chat software works. The topic is the differences between clock face mode and left-right mode. Does anybody know offhand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what you want me to say, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's a start. Basically, when you're using left-right mode, it's telling you streets and points of interest are to the right, to the left, behind you, ahead and left, ahead and right, and behind and left, and behind and right, which is good. If you have the system set to clock face mode, it tells you that orientation as if you were in a clock face. So 12 o'clock would be ahead of you, 3 o'clock would be to the right, 6 o'clock would be behind, and 9 o'clock would be to the left. When you are using your clock face mode and you're walking down the street, you want to imagine yourself facing 12 o'clock, okay? So if you're walking down the street and it says that something is 1 o'clock, that means it's ahead and to the right. If it says that it's 10 o'clock, it means it's ahead and to the left. But you're ahead and to the right positions are 1 or 2. Your ahead or left positions are 10 and 11. Your behind and right positions are 4 and 5. And your behind and left positions are 7 and 8. So if you're walking down the street and it says that your destination is 2 o'clock and you want to get to that destination, okay, you're still, you know, traveling 12 o'clock, so you'd want to turn yourself to the right, you know, a little bit, and then go point yourself to what you guesstimate is the 2 o'clock position, and then start walking, and if all goes right, that destination or point of interest or whatever you're trying to get to will then become your 12 o'clock position, which means you're heading straight for it.
Isn't it a good idea, though, to get a couple of readings? Because sometimes, you know, I've been walking down a straight walk. There's nowhere else to go. And the readings can vary a little bit.
Yes, it's always a good idea to get a couple of readings. You know, that could depend on the GPS fluctuation, you know, the signal bouncing or whatever could give you your orientation or your heading mode a little bit off whack. So, yes, you're right.
When would each mode be useful? I mean, when would you use either of those modes?
In all reality, it is a personal preference. Some people think that the clock face would be more accurate, meaning because it's giving you more of a degree than ahead and left or behind and right. But other people just wouldn't be able to think in a clock face mode. So in all reality, it would be totally up to the user. When I first started using the clock face mode, I was confused by it as well, and I didn't understand what it would do, so I turned it off for quite a number of years, and then one day I decided I was going to try it again and turned it back on, and I haven't turned, you know, I haven't gone back to left-right just because I like it the way it's better. In my opinion, for my needs, I like it better, but again, it's personal preference. And I suppose we should talk about where to go to change it. You go to Options menu, and then you go to Heading mode. So you in the program you do O, and then H, and then you'll be presented with left right mode or clock face. So you can hit L for left right, or C for clock face, and it'll change those announcements for you. So is it more confusing than it needs to be?
I gotcha.
How about Denise or Marla or Eileen?
Clock face mode.
Do you use clock face mode?
I just use the regular one when it says their destination is to the right and to the left. Confuses me.
See, again, it's a personal preference. So that's why we all have choices.
I like it. It tends to give me a good sense of where I am with relation to some of the streets I pass and things. So I guess I probably use clock face more than left-right, but it depends.
I know my mobility instructor was basically always giving me turns to, you know, soft right, soft left, hard right, hard left, and the clock face kind of does the same thing for me. So I know I use it more, almost consistently all the time. And primarily, I know every mobility instructor is different, but that's probably one of the main reasons I use it.
Hello, Kevin. Still can't hear you, Kevin.
I think you're having software trouble.
There are actually some new accessibility features built into the software. You can go to help and accessibility, and you can turn different events on or off, like you can say who's talking, you can say who enters the room, who leaves the room. You can have it read private messages or public messages. There's a couple other things that you can have it do. Also, a lot of the keystrokes have changed, like to get to the user list is F7, and it's kind of a tree. So it'll group people, participants, moderators, and the person who's talking is up near the top.
I haven't changed anything at all, but when I figured out how to get into this using JAWS, I think I have version 8, the box doesn't say username. It says password, but where I had to put my username with JAWS, I could not read. It did not have those particular, it didn't say those particular words.
Okay, I'll check into that for you and let you know what I find.
Thanks. I think it just said like graphic 743 or something like that. Edit. How do you get to this these accessibility options that you mentioned? You go over to help or how would you do that? How would you access that?
Yeah, you would go to the menu bar and then right arrow to help, or you can do Alt H in the chat software, and it'll pull down the help menu. And then you down arrow to accessibility and press enter, and they're on their own little menus, or it's in its own little accessibility menu.
Hello, Chris. Am I coming through?
Kevin, we can hear you.
I know, it took forever. It looks like I had my external mic on instead of my internal mic.
And I thought you were lost in the woods.
Pretty close.
Can I go off topic since it seems pretty quiet tonight?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is going to be a two-part deal, but I'll start with part one. I was planning to use my GPS this morning, and so before I left the house, I checked, and everything was fine. It was seeing the receiver. When I about 2 hours later, when I went to use it, now and maybe it's my procedure that was wrong. I turned on I have a Holix. I had turned on the Holix, and a few minutes later, I turned on my M-Power, and then I got Bluetooth receiver not detected. And I just didn't have time to go back into options, connectivity, and all that. I'm just wondering why it worked at one point, and 2 hours later, it didn't work, and is it because I had too much of a time gap, shouldn't have turned on my receiver, or what could have happened?
Did you by any chance like reset your units in the 2 hour time period? Because it shouldn't really matter unless you did some sort of reset or if you turned Bluetooth off under the options connectivity menu.
No, I did absolutely nothing. Deliberately I left it, didn't even touch it once I had checked before leaving the house, never touched it after that.
Probably another thing you should probably good thing to try is probably going back to the main menu and then just go back into the GPS program. Sometimes it just takes a while for the M-Power and the GPS receiver to communicate properly.
Yeah, sometimes if that happens and you know both devices are on, they're both active, they're both working, sometimes when you go into GPS, it doesn't find the Bluetooth receiver. So if you hop back out, go back to the main menu, and then jump back in, it'll probably find it.
Okay, that's excellent. Now we'll get to part two. Let's assume that everything's working. This particular route that I take is a very easy one in terms of basically it's a straight route up until the last block of the route. And I really only care about knowing when I'm at a street crossing because it's a real devil. There's just no way to tell, which is another story. But, okay, so I don't even really care about opening a route. So if I choose not to open a route, could I just do like an MX to repeat intersections? Do I have to do anything about, you know, doing putting the GPS mode the same as I don't know. Are there any settings that I have to do if I don't care to open a route for maximum accuracy? I guess that's my question.
Sounds to me like, yeah, you just want to repeat your intersections and you should be good to go. So you just jump into the program and then turn your multiple repeat and then intersections and turn those on.
Or also, if you're looking for a particular intersection, you can probably just do an address lookup and find that particular intersection and set it as your destination. And then just set that as your destination, and then you can just get warmer until you get to that intersection you're looking for.
Right, but there are quite a few intersections. Let's see. Okay, if I've last had it set for, like this morning before I left the house, that's what I had it set to repeat intersections. So when I turn the thing back on, is that automatically going to be, since that was my last setting, is it going to automatically be on that setting or do I have to reset it?
Yeah, it saves your settings, your multiple repeat settings.
Well, that sounds easy enough. I'll see if it works next time I do that route.
Well, and you can also just set the look around mode for it to announce intersections, and you'll get a one-time announcement approximately 200 feet prior to the intersection. Then you can just hit the intersection commands as you get closer, and that'll give you a lot of information.
Excellent point. Thank you. That does sound like a good alternate plan as well. I appreciate that.
And also, if you want, you can probably make a personal point of interest there or just around that area and sort of give you some sort of message or some sort of warning that you're approaching that intersection and that you should do whatever you need to do.
And those intersection commands are one-handed commands on the BT, which means you don't have to do X on a BT. You can do... now I'm a little rusty at that because my PK is back at the shop. But I believe it is space with 4-6 to do an intersection. Carl, you can correct me.
No, you're correct. This detail intersection is the dots 4-6, and the just intersection command is 4-5-6.
So does that mean if I have nothing set and press either one of those combinations, it's going to give me the information I want, right?
Yeah, it'll give you the, if you press 4-5-6, it'll give you just regular intersection information. And if you want advanced intersection information, you just press 4-6.
Yeah, without the space.
Well, that is fantastic. Every time I come here, I'm always so happy because it refreshes my memory and gets me all happy. So thank you, guys.
Oh, it refreshes ours, too.
Another thing you may want to remember is once you execute, say, the detailed intersection or the dots 4-6 command, if you just hit the space bar, if you don't execute another command along the way, you can just continue to hit the space bar when you want to get your distance to that intersection. It will basically be repeating it any time you hit the space bar.
That's terrific. Gee, I may just, after this session, I may just have to run outside and try that route.
Yeah, I think you should. And speaking of the look around mode, Carl, especially for those of us, including Eileen here, how do we go setting that up so we could get that one-time announcement of the intersection?
Well, basically, it's the spacebar M commands, and it's under look around mode. It's either toggled on or off intersections. I think it's the third one down the list in the menu. And you just toggle it on or off. And, you know, like Chris explained, we save your settings and it will always be there. I know when I'm out just walking around, I normally turn commercial POIs off and user on. Intersections on, etc. But that's a personal preference. But it's in the spacebar M command list, and it's the menu there will allow you to toggle it on or off. And you can set your announced distance. Let's see. Chris, help me there. I think you can set that the same as you announce destination, but I'm not positive about that. Help me, Chris.
Isn't that the arrival distance under the options menu?
Yes, it is. I know that's for the arrival for your destination, but I think that may also toggle the set your distance for the look around also. I'm not positive about that. I gotta do some thinking.
I don't think it does. I think it's default depending on your speed, and also I think mainly on your speed.
My problem, we're going through so many changes now, I forget some of the basics. But did that answer your question, Armando? I'm sorry.
I think you answered not just mine, but everybody's question, including Eileen's. And I think in her case, this would be a useful command. But then again, as you said, it's everyone's personal choice, personal preference on this one.
It's definitely useful for me because this particular route, it's so bad that there is absolutely no way to tell when I've gone off a curb and when I'm in the middle of the street. And it's kind of a life-preserving command, so it's certainly going to be a big help.
One other thing I'll just toss out a little bit. In some of these situations, and it's, you know, the safety factor is so great, and we, you know, we're not professing to be a safety tool in any way. But one of the other items that may help a little bit there, and it what depends on the complexity and all of the rest. But what I normally will do a lot of times is when I'm afraid of veering off somewhere, I just keep checking my heading as frequently as I want to and make sure that I haven't varied off that direction. And I know how easy it is to veer off, and thank goodness for the dog. He keeps me pretty straight, but it's certainly very easy. So sometimes just keeping a good check on your heading is helpful. And I know how complex and how frustrating some of this is.
What's the one-handed, is there a one-handed command for the heading?
Yeah, it's just dot five.
You know, it's interesting because you can read this and everything, but just having a lot of this information reinforced through a discussion like this is really so useful.
You know, just keep in mind that we've been at this for a long time, and we probably do it 8, 12 hours a day, so it's pretty fresh in our minds, too. But we're definitely not perfect, that's for sure.
You come pretty close.
Check in now. I'm going to bed now. I have to get up early in the morning. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night, Denise.
Denise, and I just wanted to say hello again and good night. And it's not even dinner time here.
Dinner time here. And I want you all to have a good night. Sweet.
Have a good night, Denise.
Have a good night, Denise, and have a very pleasant week.
Do the same. Bye-bye.
Good night, Denise. Yeah, what I just noticed when I went to the look around, because I have my PK to the side of me, and when I went to the look around mode, I guess you have to get into the settings before you're able to do all these changes.
Yes, that's correct.
For some reason, I did not see what Carl was saying as far as, like, the distance. I did not see that anywhere within that look-around mode. And I think the only place I've seen is in the options menu and the GPS.
Armando, that's correct. That's where those changes are changed from, definitely. Not in the look-around menu selection.
As far as distance is concerned, what's the good set amount of distance? Like, for example, if I'm walking, what would be the good amount of distance for it to notify me what's ahead of me or whatever the situation may be?
It's best to leave it as a default of 50 feet, just because if you increase or decrease it at the with version 3.5, it gets a little goofy, and it'll repeat that you arrived near your destination a bunch of times. But it's mainly dependent on your speed.
Okay, I was looking in the manual, and section 7.10 talks about the arrival distance, and it talks about affecting waypoints in your route.
Gotcha. When is the new version of Sendero GPS coming out? Do you guys have any idea? And what changes are we expecting?
We don't have a release date yet for it.
All right, I'm going to go wandering again to ask for suggestions. On Tuesday, I'm going to be working with about 4 children. Well, they're young teenagers with probably no immediate prospects for getting GPS, but I want to show them GPS. We're not going to be able to go out on the streets or anything. One idea that I had, and the main idea, was to do find commands, you know, virtually based on locations that they know, such as their school or their home. Does anybody else have any ideas what I can do with them to make GPS kind of interesting? And again, we can't really go out and use it in any way that I can imagine at this point.
What about taking your scenario right there, maybe from their house to a friend's house, and plotting a route from, you know, their house to the friend's house, and then follow that route and show them how, you know, it can guide them turn by turn?
Good.
Another idea, Arlene, is one thing that I've done with to get people started a little bit is if you're in an area that you can get reasonable satellite communication and doesn't need to be on the streets or anything else like that, if you can just mark a waypoint somewhere that's interesting and just try to have the kids find that point of interest, if you will, not a waypoint, I'm sorry, a point of interest. And it's kind of interesting because it's guiding them distance and direction, and they kind of get the feel of GPS a little bit that way. Just a suggestion.
Right, depending on how many kids, the neighborhood where we will be working is not the best, and there isn't much around, but it's worth thinking about, depending on how many come and so on. We might even be able to create a vehicular route, go out to eat or something, again, depending on how many kids come.
That method does work, actually, Eileen, the one where you're saying the find command in the virtual mode position. And the reason I say it works is when I went down to training in the Bay Area, that's what my trainer did is, he's also blind as well, so we both had our GPSs, and he kind of showed me how to plot a route and whatnot. And as soon as we did that, then that's when we decided to get lost in the Bay Area and have the GPS guide us back, and it worked.
Yeah, it sounds like a worthwhile little project. And I bet some of these kids don't even realize streets around them and even points of interest around them. So I think it's going to be, I'm kind of excited about it.
It's amazing the world of GPS, what it's brought to me, especially because I live up here in Northern California, up in Chico. And just the fact that I was able to show off to everybody, including a friend of mine, we were in a car, and he thought I wasn't able to tell him what speed we were going. I said, hey, why are you going at 75 on a 65?
And one other thing I've found, Eileen, is a lot of times these younger children and adults also do not have a good sense or feeling of direction they're traveling. And you can almost feel them loosen up a little bit when they find, oh, I'm traveling north or I'm traveling south, etc. It's a good experience for them.
Hey, gang. I just thought I'd drop in here for a second before heading out again. We actually found something. Someone mentioned the speed limit. We actually found something this past week, and the speed that we're announcing to you when you do a detailed city, chord C or space C or control C, that speed is not the speed limit. And it's actually the average speed that vehicles will travel on that segment of road. I thought it was the speed limit. We actually don't say speed limit in when we announce that. We just say 25 or 65 miles an hour. We do not say that that's the maximum speed. The next version will actually say average 25 or 21 miles an hour. So just to let you know that that speed there is not really the speed limit, but the average speed that vehicles are traveling based on the road classification. So just something to be aware of.
Yeah, I was wondering why it says like 21 miles an hour. I was thinking there's not really places that have speed limits that are 21 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would be why, because it's not the speed limit, it's the average speed that vehicles travel. And actually it's based on a kilometers per hour, and it's converting it. So it's actually like 35 kilometers an hour is the average speed, and then we convert that to miles an hour, and that's where you get the 21 from. So there you go.
So what about on the freeway, where sometimes I'll press the space C or chord C command, and it'll tell me like 21 miles an hour on the freeway, which I'm pretty sure there aren't that many people going 21 miles an hour on the freeway.
Not sure exactly why it would say 21 there. Unless it's going right near an on-ramp or an off-ramp, and that could be why you were getting that average speed at that segment of road. But it, the ones that I've seen where you're on a freeway, it's like 95 kilometers an hour, and then it converts that to miles an hour. So I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that specific spot.
I actually do the S chord. I don't do the C chord.
The S chord is for an address lookup, and the C chord is detailed city information. So,
yeah, S chord, that actually does set your address. So I'm not sure what you're referring to there. S gives you your current speed, but S chord gives you your tries to set an address.
I meant S. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just your GPS speed at that time. That's not telling you what the average speed of the of the street is. We've been saying speed limit for so long, but we just recently found it. All right, gang. Well, I just wanted to drop in, say hi, see how the chat software is working for everyone. Notice that Jerry didn't have the right password. Must have missed those messages from Chris saying that the password is Sendero GPS. But anyway, guys, sounds like this is actually not stuttering, right? That's not better than our first attempt.
You cut out bad.
Oh, sure. Now that I'm, you know. Oh, okay. Well, my microphone must have dropped from my face. Sorry about that. Just wanted to check in, say hello, and make sure that the chat room software was working correctly. And looks like there's not a lot of stuttering, which we had on the first go-around on Tuesday. It's looking pretty good, and can definitely hear everyone, and looks like a lot of people got onto the chat room, so that's good news as well. So, all right, gang, well, you guys take care for another week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, Charles.
Take care, Charles. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Charles.
Take care.
Bon voyage.
I love that, Eileen. You guys take care. See ya. Bye-bye.
I have a real important question for the people up in the northeast. I'm trying to find what the weather report's going to be for tomorrow. I've got a grandson that's visiting McGill University, leaving first thing in the morning, so I'm trying to get him a good, accurate weather report.
Give me the city, and I will send you an email with the weather report.
Oh, that's neat. I could look it up, too, Chris. I'm just, it's going to be Montreal, naturally, for McGill.
Well, certainly here in Connecticut, it's supposed to be around 80, which is just unbelievable.
Wow, 80 degrees? That's neat.
Yeah, it was 70 today, 72, 73.
Yes, especially sitting here last week, and you're all talking about California and how beautiful it is, and I'm sitting in this room practically with my winter coat on. The rain is pelting the house, and didn't sleep all that night because the wind was literally shaking everything. I was waiting for one of my big trees to fall. So yes, indeed, 80 is the best.
Much better than what we have in California right now. Although it's clearing up, but we did have quite a bit of rain for the last couple of days. Nothing serious, but I'm envious of that nice 80-degree weather. That's neat.
We'll get that sooner or later, Carl.
I'm sure we will.
Yes, here it's just a tease, but as long as it lasts, it's fine with me.
Well, I remember a certain time of the year back in December when we were in California and the weather was much nicer than it was back in Buffalo.
Now that we're on the subject of weather, will the GPS interfere with rain? Because I get asked that question, and to me, you know, even though we have a nice protective case, I'm afraid to even pull the receiver when it's raining.
You know, I guess I can only really answer that question by personal experience, all right? Naturally, I'm more concerned by far of my Braille note in weather conditions, you know, being exposed than I am the receiver. And I haven't noticed any problem with the Hall X at all in its... reported to be somewhat waterproof, and I haven't noticed a problem. I wouldn't advise taking it in a swimming pool with you or anything like that. But I think the main thing to be concerned about, naturally, is your Braille note itself. As far as the satellite reception and just being out in the car and around, I haven't noticed any major changes because of cloudy conditions or rainy conditions, but it's hard to really say that there isn't a difference. I've noticed some days that on a very clear day, sometimes I have a difficulty acquiring, and some of the days, even cloudy days, a little difficult. So I don't know. Does anybody else have any opinion on that?
I think for myself too, the first thing I'm worried about when it's raining or something is the brown note, and just when I'm actually out there walking while it's raining, I'll put just a plastic bag around the brown note and tie it up. But if it's a light rain or approaching a heavy, more of a heavy rain, I probably wouldn't worry about the receiver so much, just because it's more of the cheaper part of the entire package. But if you're really worried about it, you can toss in the bag with your brown note. And I haven't found that the rain affects the GPS reception to the point I've actually noticed some significant difference while both in the car and also walking around.
Yes, I agree. Plastic bag, if you really are concerned about protecting the equipment.
I know myself, I use just a rain jacket, but it's got kind of a knitted pocket so you can reach in and I can still get the tactile feeling of the Braille keys. I think I'd have a little difficult reading the Braille through those web-type pockets, but I can still, you know, manipulate the keys easily with that. So there's all kinds of different ways to try to protect it. I know talking to Chris sometimes that you need to keep that Braille note probably hidden because of the cold and snowy conditions that you have. You don't want to take your hands out of your pockets at all.
Yeah, I was actually just going to mention that I've used the Braille note, I've used the GPS in like 10 degree weather with snow coming down, and you know, but of course I'm bundled up, the Braille note's bundled up inside of the jacket, the GPS receiver's inside the jacket, and never had any problems with it that way, because my body heat was obviously keeping the Braille note and stuff warm. I had an earphone, and I had a lot of things doing automatic announcements.
Smart. I'll have to give that a try. Although I'll probably have to wait till next November, December, since we're pretty much approaching summer.
And actually, one of those days too, I was using the GPS in the snowstorm, and totally relying on that position that it was giving me. I was using the getting warmer method to find my destination. And I ended up walking across parking lots and stuff because I had no idea where I was, because there were no sidewalks, because it was all covered with snow, and there were no paths, you know, where people were trampling them down, so you couldn't even follow that. It's just, there was nothing, just snow.
In the deep snow, Chris, I imagine it's pretty hard to tactically feel your way around with a cane.
Yes, actually it can be. I sometimes take the cane and try and feel with the tip, you know, the difference between the sidewalk and the grass, and that's not always the case.
Well, sometimes we don't know how lucky we are in some of this Western United States or the California area where we're not faced with that real severe weather.
Well, hopefully that severe weather's gone.
Yeah, for your sake and everybody back there, I hope you're right too, because I have lived in New York and I know what it's like. Well, I know there's been a lot of questions about the new release, and like Chris said, that there's not a date established, but I'd just like to say from my perspective right now is keep tuned. There's a lot of excitement going to happen in the GPS arena that we're going to announce, and I think everybody will be very, very happy with the next release.
I'm sure looking forward to it.
Xavier?
Well, when I see how far it's come in just a couple of years, it really is amazing.
And, you know, a lot of our changes have been by our users giving us the feedback and things that they would like to have, and, of course, things that are not perfect. And, you know, of course, we want to take pride that we come up with some ideas, too, but we're all working together as a total team, and that's what really makes a product for everybody. Well, I've got a young fellow here that says it's his dinner time and his building clock, his alarm clock is ringing, and if I don't go feed him now, he may take me and tear me up a little bit. So I think I'm going to sign off, and good talking to everybody, and see everybody again later.
See you later, Carl. I think I'm going to sign off as well.
Take care, Carl.
Hey, I just came in.